Thank you, Tammy. We appreciate that a lot. At this time, we'd like to dismiss all of our kids, our elementary kids to Kid Zone, our teens to our Teen Zone, Miss Denise Nichols with the elementary, and Miss Lynn Ivy with our teenagers. Happy Father's Day. If you did not, if you just came in, and just so any of you other gentlemen need to know, we're handing out some pins that we gave out at the beginning of the service, so hopefully you got one, guys. If not, they're going to be at the end of the service, so make sure you grab one. And then at the end of the service, also, ladies, feel free to grab one as well if you'd like. I hope you've enjoyed and gotten a lot out of our current series that we've been going through called The Old Testament Chronicles and looking at the life of Elijah. He's considered one of God's most underrated servants because a lot of what he used to do kind of got unnoticed. But we've been looking at his life a little bit and just gleaning some things from him. For instance, we learned about Elijah's compassion in the first week in 1 Kings 17. And then we learned about his authority and his faith in God last week in 1 Kings 18. But today, we're going to be going and looking at a side of Elijah that we probably was going to surprise us a little bit after what he experienced and did. And so through this, we're going to learn a lot about how God can work not only in his life, but in yours in this specific way. So today, let's pray that our hearts be open and that our minds are ready to glean from God's word today. So let's pray. Father, I just come before you in the name of Jesus Christ and just love you, Lord, and thank you. Thank you for loving us first and foremost. Thank you so much that you paved the way for your son Jesus Christ to come to this world. And we now just, God, we ask that you would do wonderful things and just continue in a great way, God, to move in our lives. So we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tell me if you've been there. It's been an awesome weekend, but then the alarm sounds, and it's Monday. You drag yourself out of bed, you get yourself ready, probably even have to get the kids ready, and grudgingly make your way out the door. How many of you have been there? Tell me if you've been there. It's the middle of the week and you're 3 hours away from your day ending, but you have to hit that, you've hit that proverbial wall. You know, just that mental block that just hits you and you just can't focus and you can't finish strong. How many of you have been there? All right. Tell me if you've been there. It's been a long day at school. And your final period or your final class and your schedule, but it seems like the time is just slowly ticking away. And it's taking forever. And the teacher's voice goes from a pleasant voice to the peanuts teacher's voice. And you're just about to go crazy inside. How many of you have been there? I thought Tori Chester would raise her hand. I tell you what, there's so many moments in life that either you hit a snag or you feel like life's dragging you a little bit or you feel like you just aren't in control of your circumstances. You don't know what to do. Perhaps, you know, we're looking for something, that little thing called a pick-me-up. You know, you're looking for that one thing that will just energize you, get the rest of your day going for you. And that can be random things. For instance, you might get a call from a friend. Say, hey, you doing anything? You want to go out for lunch? Could be that. Could be where a spouse just happens to call you in the middle of your day and they just give you an encouraging word and that's a little bit of pep that you needed. Maybe it's a random text from someone saying they're thinking about you and maybe they're praying for you. And those are good little pick-me-ups to get throughout the day. Or if you're like some, maybe you just need something to just put in your system, in your mouth, and just eat it. For example.
So you guys grew up together?
Yes, since third grade. What are you looking at?
I'm not looking at anything.
We're not good enough for you. You look for something else?
No, I don't know.
What are you, big supermodels?
Oh, Jesus.
Supermodels. What are you, model gloves? What are you doing? A girl's totally into me.
Brad, eat a Snickers.
Why?
Because you get a little angry when you're hungry. Better?
better. So, ladies.
So, losers.
Stacy, relax.
I'm sorry.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
Many of you are like that on occasion from time to time. Now, if you're like that every day, I'm sorry for you. You know, I just happen to have one of those awesome Snicker bars in my hand. Yeah, I came prepared today. And it's like some of you are like throwing it. So guess what, guys? Since it's Father's Day, I just happened to also make sure that I had a whole bunch of Snicker bars for all the guys. So I need a couple of ladies to come and help me out here to give these to the guys at the end of the service, okay? Now, that might make them a little hangry a little bit for now, but you know what? I think they will appreciate it at the end. So I just will need somebody at the end. Well, thank you, Tammy. I appreciate that. Got a bunch of Snicker bars. And Miss Nikki, thank you so much. I appreciate your help with that. Awesome. Very good. And I tell you what, I'm just going to throw one just for the fun of it. So here you go, Cody. Nice catch. So, a little Father's Day treat for the guys, you know, you need that little pick-me-up, you need that appetizer if you're waiting in line today for Father's Day stuff going on. So, there you go. Happy Father's Day to you. My pleasure. Again, that's a little bit more than just the pins in itself, but you know what, there's also other things that we kind of ingest as well to see if it'll give us that pick-me-up. For instance, have you guys ever heard of those little bottle things called 5-Hour Energy? Oh yeah, there's the 5-Hour Energy bottles, there's also the Red Bull, there's the Monster, there's the Rockstar Energy drinks. Even Mountain Dew's gotten into the whole thing with Kickstart. And then there's NOS, have you ever heard of that? Megan and I used to had an energy drink we were access to, what was it called? I forget. Excess, you know, all of these different things, they're supposed to give you little pick-me-ups throughout the day, so you don't crash and burn. Is to get that little pick-me-up in your life. Well, I tell you what, there's other things, too, that are pick-me-ups. Like, for instance, you know, ever since Megan and I got Oreo, whenever I come home for lunch and I've had a pretty busy morning, man, she just comes right up to me so excited and just ready to lick on me and just jump on me. And, man, that just makes my day. I know it makes Megan's day at the end of the day. So pets definitely help with that. Kids, when they're young and they're happy to see you, not when they're teenagers and say, hi, how you doing? Okay, and then families. Just today's a good day for just families to be together. Just hang out. Don't know what you got planned, but I hope you make the best of it today. Hopefully that's your pick-me-up. Well, despite the amazing miracle that we read about last week in Elijah and taking on 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah and showing clearly who the real God was, Elijah, we're going to read here in a moment, let something get the best of it. And we're going to read about that today. So take your Bibles and let's look at the book of 1 Kings. We're going to continue in 1 Kings, but we're going to go to chapter 19 now. As you're looking that up, there's another thing that the Lord also happened, and that was to bring rain back to the area. Remember at the beginning, we heard that Elijah basically told King Ahab, who was ruling over Israel without the authority and the presence of God in his life. And he basically said, okay, King Ahab, it's not going to rain because I say so with the Lord's authority. Well, now Elijah has decided, you know what, the time has come, let's bring the rain. And therefore, he tells King Ahab, the rain is coming. And it slowly starts to make its way, little building, there's this little small dark cloud in the sky, and he says, get ready, it's going to pour down. And it pours down rain at the end of that chapter. And it said that last verse at the end of that chapter, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab in the entrance of Jezreel. But you think with all this momentum and all this great feeling that Elijah's got now, he's got the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. He's running ahead. He's being the catalyst. He's being the leader. And we're going to find out that moment is short-lived. As we pick up in reading the first couple of verses here in 1 Kings 1, verse 19, verses 1 through 3. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. when Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more so also, if I do not make your life as the life of the one of them by this time tomorrow." And he was afraid. And he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Just imagine if the most amazing moment in your life, and you conquered, you won, you're on cloud nine, hopefully, and one person, only one, but someone so significant, someone that so hates you, that so wants to end you, threatens to do so, and all of a sudden the script has changed. Elijah is not him, not that on cloud nine himself anymore. He is afraid, and now he is ready to run for his life. Elijah, you just saw what God did. You're seeing people turn back to God. Why would Elijah go through this? Why would he allow this fear to grip him so easily? There's only a couple of possibilities of what this might mean. Maybe he was thinking immediately, well, yes, you know, this great thing happened. I'm still God's lone messenger. I'm the only prophet. Maybe he was afraid from that standpoint, but maybe there's just something about this woman, Jezebel, that shook him to the core. And we don't know why, we don't know what the reason is. All we know that he is now afraid for his life. He is running literally like a scaredy cat, getting out of Dodge, and running to Beersheba. He even had a servant that was helping him. He said, leaving the servant behind, so I guess the servant doesn't die either. But he's running for his life. You know, it's easy to be afraid, isn't it? You know, everything can go great for one moment except for the one thing that's still lingering in the back of your mind, that one fear that seems to always seize you and grab you. Elijah's was obviously the threats of Jezebel. You know, some of us have probably fears, you know, there's always the phobia fears, like the fear of water, the fear of falling, the fear of heights, the fear of snakes, the fear of spiders, the fear of the crimson tide, anything like that you can think of, okay? But there's also the fears of loneliness. There's probably even the fears of not being able to provide for your family. The fears of not being good enough. The fear of how we look. The fear of how others perceive us. And many others. And while the Bible tells us on many occasions to do not fear, you probably hear that. You've heard the phrase probably that the phrase do not fear is in the Bible 365 times, which I guess equals to 365 days a year. We shouldn't be afraid. But it's easier said than done, is it not? It is. And our God understands that. That's why he loves us the way he does. But there is an important point, though, that I want you to take and keep in mind when you do go up against your fears. And it's simply this, and I'll explain what it means. This point is, don't let fear paralyze you. Let it drive you to faith in God. Here's what I mean by that. I heard an artist recently on a record label, a Christian rapper by the name of Lecrae. And in one of his songs, he's teamed up with Tori Kelly, and he's doing this song to help people who are battling cancer have some encouragement and some momentum. And he talks about how, if I can remember the lyrics correctly, he talks about how, you know, fear can seize us, but he also says in there, fear drives faith. And what he means by that, and what this particular point's talking about, is that when you are afraid, when you have a fear seize over you, when you have anxiety, when you have things that go on, like this past Monday, I'm so glad Megan was with me, because I had to go to the dentist for the first time in 7 years. Okay, I confess, I don't go see my dentist very often, okay? But I'm so glad she was there because I was anxious, I was nervous, I was scared out of my mind. Because I knew that this broken tooth that I had had to either get removed or had to be repaired. And when the dentist, who didn't have quite the best bedside manner, is a good man, I'm sure, and everything, said, we're gonna fix it with a root canal. Whoa, wait a minute. Root canal. I've heard horror stories of root canals now. Come on. And I'm so glad Megan was there because, man, I was just like, oh. But then, of course, she had to leave the room and I'm just completely clenching onto this. And, in so many respects, a root canal is nothing to compare with some people are going through that are trying to get transplants and fighting cancer and having major surgery and so forth. So I have a respect a little bit more now, which I still have to go and get a second root canal done Monday, but that's beside the point. Let fear drive you to go to the source that can reduce or eliminate fear. And that is our God, our faith in God, that God can take care of any fear. And if anything, if we can't get rid of the fear, at least it'll drive us to the one that can remove fear when it's time. That's what we mean by this point today. When you're anxious about something, the scripture tells us to take that anxiousness and turn it into a prayer. When you feel the need to reach out, or you feel a need that's missing in your life, pray to the Lord to provide it in faith. And when you feel like you're losing control and you're not sure what to do, trust in God and lean not on your own understanding. Talk about faith. Always remember the ways of God will always be better than anything that we can come up with on our own. So let's see how Elijah wound up handling his own fears. So let's continue in verse 4 of 1 Kings 19. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. You know, the encouragement that we see here is that God has not abandoned Elijah. Elijah is thinking to himself, "I might as well die. I've done this great deed, Lord. I've pointed people back to you. But I'd rather you take my life than have Jezebel take my life so I can be at peace with you." And that's not what God does. So what does he do? He sends an angel. We don't know the angel's name. We don't know which one it is. All we know is an angel comes down and attends to the needs of Elijah, takes care of him. And I can only encourage you in the same manner. God will supernaturally take care of you in your moment of need, in your moment of struggle, in your moment of indecision, or in your moment of temptation. He will be there to supernaturally move you to him, no matter what the circumstance may be. You know, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus. Looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, in his Sermon on the Mount, he preached on this very thing. talking about, you know, being wise and being understanding when it comes to the things that we need in life. Listen to these words of Jesus. Chapter 6, verse 25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, well, what shall we eat, or what are we going to drink, or what am I going to wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Take those words of Jesus to heart. He will care for your needs. He will, when you ask in faith, you believe in faith, how he will provide. I've never known a time where we're truly we're seeking God and we really put faith and say, God, I got God. All I've got right now is just to put it in your hands, and I've got to let go. I've never seen or heard where God doesn't come through. So take faith in that. Elijah now has taken what God has given him, and he's made his way now to Mount Horeb. It's time to discover one more moment that we can all relate to Elijah here. So let's pick up again now in verse 9 and read to verse 18. "There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke them in pieces, the rocks, before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek in my life to take it away. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael, to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes the sword of Haziel shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. This was Elijah's pick-me-up. He needed this from God. He needed to hear God's voice. He needed to this understanding that he was not alone. For this time since chapter 17 and chapter 18, Elijah has felt like he has been the only lone messenger, own prophet of God. And here he goes and says, here, guess what? You're going to go anoint this person king of Judah. You're going to go anoint this person king of Israel. And you're going to go ahead and anoint yourself a successor. You're going to have a partner. Okay? You're going to have someone that's going to be there for you. And guess what? He's already predicting the future of what's going to happen in the circumstances. And not only that, Elijah, guess what? I've got 7,000 more ready right behind them. And can you imagine the relief that Elijah felt from hearing that? That was his pick-me-up. That was his moment. It wasn't in the booms. It wasn't in a loud wind. A wind like a hurricane, probably, or a tornado that is violent enough to shake a mountain and tear off the rocks from it. It's not an earthquake that goes in that. And then it's not this big fire. Where is it that he finally hears God? The Lord passes by. He heard that, but it was something in that gentle whisper. That low whisper. You ever had those moments in life where you just felt like you just heard a whisper in your voice saying something that you needed to hear? This was God for Elijah. And it's an amazing thing because God loves to hear from those that acknowledge him, that seek him, that pursue him, not for selfish reasons, but for a reason of just bettering a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And that's what Elijah wanted. Elijah confessed, I'm jealous for you, God. I love you so much. I'm pursuing you, but I feel like I'm the only one. And Elijah gets his pick-me-up when he needs it. For just a moment, I want to share a story with you about a moment in my life. I've had several pick-me-ups from God. and I thank God for each and every one of them. But this one in particular really touched me. I was actually in a transition at my church I was serving at in Woodstock, Georgia. I was going to transition from teen ministry to specifically children's ministry that summer because we wanted to go in a different direction of helping our children's ministry grow. So I was fulfilling my final duties as the youth minister there and working with one of the other co-workers who was going to take over. And we took the teens to a conference called Christ in Youth. And there we took them many other times before. But because of just how things were working out, you know, I had a small role just to play there. And then, so I was just going through the weekend. I was praying to God, just thinking, God, I know this big transition's coming up, but how can I serve these kids this week? How can I help them come closer to you? And it turned out that one of the big things that CIY was going to do that week in one of their final nights, I think it was like a Wednesday night actually, was to have some volunteers from the youth groups, two people, who would be willing to go all night long praying for kids' needs, because they were going to have them written on very something similar like this plexiglass. Think of this plexiglass as two times tall and two times wide in a cube, okay? And they would have these volunteers sit in here, and they could venture out as well, but they sit in there and pray for all these prayer requests. And I want you to understand something. There's about 1,000 teenagers at this conference. And so that night, they had a powerful message from the speaker, and he encouraged all of them to go to those panels that they would have against the side walls, okay? And they had them write some deep prayer requests. Life-changing things for teenagers. And so they were doing this, and I decided I was going to be one of those volunteers that would do that. And so they were telling me what to expect and what to do and things like that. And, you know, we're here for you in any way possible. And so at the end of the night, they let us know who these two people were going to be. I'm up on stage, and this other lady was on stage. And so they say, these two people right here, these two youth sponsors, are going to pray for you all night long, praying for your requests. And so everything started. I got in position, started reading, and man, some of these prayer requests were just intimate, man. So deep. And as going through the night, and obviously, you know what, when you haven't prayed hours upon hours upon hours, it is a physically exhausting thing. And if you've never done it, I mean, it's hard to really just think about prayer, not just like close your eyes and just not say anything. And this is just like literal prayers going up for these kids. And at one point, I started to feel the fatigue. It was at about 2:30 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm here on the stage, I'm looking at these prayer requests and just feeling the emotion and feeling, just starting to feel fatigued. And at one moment, I paused and I thought from the corner of my eye, I saw a shadow. Something I don't know. Who's in here? And it turned out it was a security guard from the university that we were at. We're actually at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee. And he came up to me and said, "Hey, how you doing?" I was like, "I'm doing good, man. I'm part of the CIY thing," because he's been there all week and he's seen what's been going on and so forth. He's like, "Oh yeah, man, wow, that's amazing what you're doing," and so forth. I said, "How's it going?" I said, "I'll be honest, man, it is tiring." I'm actually doubting if I can do this. And the security guard comes up to me and says, "Well, how about this, man? Can I pray for you?" I'm like, "God, you gotta be kidding me." That was my pick-me-up. And he takes the time and says, "Lord, what's your name, man?" I say, "My name's Chip." And he just takes me by the hand, gets on his knees with me. We both get on our knees, and he's praying with me, saying, "God, just give Chip the energy and the strength to pray for these kids. And just be with them." And that's basically what it boiled down to. And then at that point, I just had a fresh wind. I had a fresh spirit come about me. And I was able to go all the way up till about 5:30 in the morning. And then I admit I actually crashed for about 30 minutes. But then we were continuing praying because the morning session was coming, and they saw me and said, "Chip, how you doing, man?" I said, I'm hanging in there, man, but I got a story to tell you later." And so later they brought these podiums out and they put them out in the foyer areas. And me and the other volunteer, and I was talking with her and how what her experience was. She said it was so tough. And then I shared my story with her, and she was just like, "Wow." The point of that is to share with you that if you make room in your heart for what God can do for you, He's going to do something amazing. In fact, there's a great point here. Make room in your heart for the movement of Jesus. Because if your thoughts truly are thinking about what for others and where they're at in life, it will radically transform how you look at life. Okay? It'll radically transform. Instead of worrying about your own problems, you're worried about this. I'm not happy with this going on in my life. And, you know, I'm just thinking about all these different things. And then you have something change. You make room in your heart for the movement of Jesus in your life. And you, before you know it, you will start looking at your own problems. You'll take about those fears and anxieties and worries. You're going to cast them onto Jesus. It's going to drive you to faith in God. And before you know it, you're going to turn around and you're going to take the strength that you've been given because of the faith that's been increased in you. And you're going to not want to keep that to yourself. You're going to want to make an impact on someone else. It was one of the most amazing moments in my spiritual life, in my spiritual walk with God, to do that. Later on that night, they asked those volunteers to come back up. And my youth group was shocked to see me up there, actually. They had no idea until that, when they started seeing that I was going to be out there doing this. And I told those kids, it's just amazing to me what this generation's going through. And this was probably about 10, 11 years ago. I can only imagine now what teenagers are going through. It's not just the normal peer pressures anymore. You have that in social media peer pressures. All the different things too. You gotta be this, you gotta be that. And today, I can imagine how hard it is to try to find an identity. Because everybody's trying to compete to be the next thing that's gonna be viral on YouTube. And you'll do whatever it takes for that to happen. But if you really want to make an impact, you make room in your heart for that movement of Jesus. And when you're having a hard time making and doing that, this is the best thing I can tell you. Jesus can pick you up. And he's ready to. He's willing to do it with God. He's willing to do it with Elijah. He's willing to do it for you and me. You know, maybe there's somebody here today that needs Jesus to pick them up from a fear. Something, some sort of doubt, whatever hurt, the abuse that maybe you've had or you're going through right now. And he can restore you by his grace and his love and his mercy today. And if you need that kind of movement, you need that kind of pick-me-up today, it's yours for the taking. All you got to do today is be willing to let that movement of God stir in your heart. So here's what I want to do. I just want to take a moment and pray for you as we close. And ask that the Lord would just continue to keep moving. And I can't stress that enough, man. Lord, please keep moving in this church. You know, the devil is getting in a wind of what we're trying to accomplish. And he's trying to already throw some little darts here and there. But I can tell you this right now, everything that he's throwing, it's just going to bounce right off because we have a God that loves us and we have a Savior in Jesus Christ ready to defend us. And God is going to continue to do a mighty thing in this church, not just now, not just the rest of this year, but for many, many years to come. All we got to do is be willing to move when the Spirit of God moves in us. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you, Lord Jesus, thank you again for your movement. Thank you so much for your blessing, your grace. God, I ask now that you will stir in our hearts this day. We recognize all the dads in our lives today. And the most important dad that we can truly acknowledge is you, Abba. Father, the dad that truly brought us into this world, the dad that's always been there in every step and moment in life and even meet right now what we're going through. Maybe we're on a fantastic spiritual high. Maybe we are struggling. And maybe, just maybe, we are just going through ho-hum and that needs to change. And so, Father, I pray now, let your Spirit move. Oh, good, good Father. May your Spirit move. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. If you'll stand, if you have a decision to make for Jesus Christ today, won't you stand as we stand and sing this song together? that today is going to be the start of a good week for you as well, because you've been here. And I hope that as we continue in this series, we've got one more sermon series to go in this story of Elijah. I certainly hope that you'll take this to heart right here, up here on the screen. Invite someone for us to love on next Sunday. I hope you'll do that. You never know. When you keep on inviting people, maybe you've been inviting people and you're just like, that just hasn't happened yet, Chip. Well, guess what? When you faithfully continue to ask, and it's true of anything, when you keep inviting people, when God's in the mix, you never know when it's going to happen. And they might come. And then they're going to see the love in this place. And they're going to see the love through these people. And they're going to be blown away. They're going to be blown away because of the faith in God that we have in Him. So God bless you this week. A couple of things to remind you before you head out today. Remember, anyone can take a pen with them today. Ooh, my pen's disappeared. Where'd it go? Oh, it's on the podium. Duh. But you can probably see Jimmy right here. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you. We got plenty of pens for everybody to take one today. So please do that. Remember, we're also going to be passing those pens out at the Festival of the Lakes. We'd love for you to sign up for that as well. And if you just came in, we are not going to be doing potlucks during the summer. We decided to give our ladies and our cooks a break from that. Instead, we want to invite you to Smarters on Thursday as family to come out and enjoy a time of fellowship. We're going to do church fellowship nights during the summer at local restaurants here in the Lexington area. So we hope you will be a part of that. And this coming Thursday is our first one at Smarter's Restaurant, Parker's Crossroads, at 6 p.m. We'd love to have you come and join us. Please let us know if you are coming so that we can reserve the right amount of tables and chairs for them to come. And guys, also don't forget, Tammy and Nikki, don't forget to pass out those Snickers bars for all our guys today, okay? Well, they're not hangry anymore. All right. Let's pray together, and thank you so much for being here, guys. Father, we love you, and thank you again for this day, and thank you for the joy that's in this place because of you and your son, Jesus. And we pray, God, that more people will experience that joy because of the genuine love and faith that we have in your son, Jesus, Lord. Father, we just come before you, Abba, and we just ask that we just glorify you with our actions, with our words, and everything that we say and do, Father. When temptations come, Lord, remind us that you're there to be with, to help us make the wisest decisions possible. And we do love you, Lord, and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Take care, folks. Have a great day. Happy Father's Day again.